Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 6th of January in the year 2021. And alhamdulillah, we're beginning the second and final month, the 31st night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubad radiyallahu. So, as shown, i.e. from the few sessions, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubad radiyallahu had an immense sense of ghina. However, there was a famous occasion where this renowned ghina became misplaced. So, you've got characteristics which are excellent, but sometimes those excellent characteristics can be misplaced. So for instance, haya. Haya is modesty, shyness, shame. But if it prevents you from seeking knowledge, it's misplaced. So ghayra is the same. It's excellent, but there was an occasion where Sa'ad ibn Ubad misplaced it, radiyallahu anhu. And it is with regards to his defense of the chief hypocrite against the slander of Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha. So in a long narration, the chief hypocrite Abdullah ibn Ubay, he got the opportunity to malign the purity of the prophetic household sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha had returned with the noble companion Sayyidina Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiyallahu anhu, after a mix-up, i.e. when Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anhu had gone for a call of nature and then returned to her hawdaj, but then leaving again, realizing the necklace of her sister had been lost. The party thereupon, thinking that Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anhu had returned, left with the understanding she was still in the hawdaj. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha returned to her hawdaj to now learn that the party had moved on. Though she intelligently stayed in that very place, and Sayyidina Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu anha spotted her. I, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had appointed this honorable man to stay behind the army in case anybody had lost any personal belongings, which he could then collect and give it to those who had lost it on his return, and then respectfully returned her to the holy city of Al-Madina. So this is putting it in brief. So it was an expedition, and our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone with this expedition. He had taken his beloved wife Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, and she was in a hawdaj. This is a kind of a transport with a covering. So she was wearing the necklace of her sister, Asma, her elder sister. So when she went for the call of nature, she came back. But when she got back into the hawdaj, she realized she's lost the necklace. So she once again left the hawdaj. And this is what confused the Muslims, because they actually now thought that she was back in the hawdaj. So when they set off, they thought she was in the hawdaj because of a very slender frame, and she was very light. So for people to think her in, it was an innocent mistake. So when they set off, Aisha was left by herself. So Aisha very intelligently stayed where she was, because she knew that there was a companion who was at the back and he would pick up the lost belongings. And to his amazement, he saw Aisha. So he respectfully made her sit on his camel, and he took our mother back into Al-Madina. This was all that the chief hypocrite needed, and thus the horrific slander started to spread. So what did Abdullah ibn Ubay start saying? He started to say, "A'udhu billah," that she's committed zina with his companion Safwan radiallahu anhu, and the rumor started spreading. So this is the reference. In Sahih Bukhari, number 4141, Sahih Muslim, number 2770, Nasa'i, number 8931, Tirmidhi, number 3180, Ahmad in his Musnad, Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 232. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 769 to 70 of the Old English Translation. So again, to quote the long narration short, when the filth had spread, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after consultations, he realized this was a premeditated slander simply to harm him and his family. Thus he ascended the pulpit. So what was fascinating, the Prophet didn't receive revelation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously he had to go through the due process, and when he did, he was convinced that this was a slander. So when he got onto the pulpit, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will support me to punish that person who has hurt me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by slandering the reputation of my family? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know nothing about my family but good. They have also accused a person about whom I know nothing but good, Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiyallahu anhu. Indeed, he never entered my dwelling except in my company. So stopping the report. So he's on the pulpit, all the Sahaba have gathered, and he's now requesting the people to punish the one who has caused this slander. And he also defended Safwan, because he's innocent as well. So now, Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he mentioned something about Safwan. So I'm going to mention this. So this is not part of the narrative, this is just to get a connection with this Sahab, Safwan ibn Mu'attal. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir, in Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on the 19th year after the Hijrah, he states, it is said that the Battle of Armenia took place in 19 AH. The commander was Uthman ibn Abu al-As, radiyallahu. Safwan ibn Mu'attal, radiyallahu, was martyred in this battle. And he was one of the commanders or chiefs of those days. Rasulullah said of him, I know of only good for him. So the first thing Ibn Kathir says is what happened to Safwan. So Safwan was martyred in Umar's Khalifah, radiyallahu, about halfway through his blessed, or the beginning part of his Khilafat, in the Battle of Armenia. Then Ibn Kathir said, he is the one whom the hypocrites accused in the scandal known as Ifk. Allah the Almighty absolved him and the mother of the believers of what they had alleged. He had not married till then, so he had said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have never uncovered the thighs of a woman. Thereafter he married. It is said that he would sleep so deeply that the sun would come out and he would still not be awake by the sun. Thus Rasulullah said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you wake up, then offer your salat. This is in Abu Dawood, number 2459. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 11350 or 3-80 with a Sahih chain of transmission. He was a poet and he attained martyrdom in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentioned a bit about him so that you get a connection. And he was given a gift. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could restrict a command or to expound on a command. So for instance, gold is forbidden for men. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a gold ring to a sahab. And he would wear that gold ring. And the people would be looking at him thinking, isn't gold forbidden? Because the Prophet gave him. So he could restrict the command. So here he did it with this Sahaba. He goes, you can pray Fajr when the sun rises. Right? So he goes, because he used to go into a deep sleep. So he'd get up and he'd pray Fajr. But we can't do that. Right? So again, why was he honored? Because he was a great companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he was martyred. Going back to the report in Bukhari and Muslim. Just to add this, Subhanallah, this indeed was one of the immense honors given to our beloved messenger from our exalted Lord. Indeed, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, in his Khasa'is al-Kubra, volume 2, page 262, he had a chapter, and the chapter heading he entitled, the chapter concerning the speciality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he can specify whatsoever and whomsoever from any of the rulings he wants. That was the chapter heading. The chapter concerning the speciality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he can specify whatsoever and whomsoever from any of the rulings he wants. For further details, refer to Fathul Bari, volume 9, page 429. So let me give you a few examples. So one is Safwan. Pray Fajr when you get up. One is the gold. Another was a famous hadith about the Qurbani. One of the companions, radiyallahu anhu, he had done his Qurbani before the Eid prayer. The Qurbani has to be after the Eid prayer. So he came, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, he goes, I've already slaughtered. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yours is accepted, but nobody else can do this. So he's doing that again. He's using that gift that Allah Ta'ala has given him. He's restricting or expanding on things. So here we shouldn't find it strange. The Prophet was given this. That Allah Ta'ala said. Going back to the main report. So the Prophet's on the pulpit. He goes, who will deal with the one who's hurt my family? Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad gets up, the chief of Aus. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will relieve you of him. I'll deal with him. If that man is from my tribe, the Aus, then we will now behead him. And if he is from our brothers, the Khazraj, then order us and we will fulfill your order. So Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, he goes, my tribe, anybody, if it's anybody from my tribe, his head's off. If it's from my brother's tribe, Sa'ad ibn Ubad, the Khazraj's tribe, give us the order, we will execute it. Upon this, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu, the chief of the Khazraj, and Aisha said, before this incident, he had been a pious man. Got up, motivated by his zeal for his tribe. And he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have told a lie. You cannot kill him, and you will never be able to kill him. So what did our mother say? Aisha radiyallahu, she praised Sa'ad, because before this incident, unblemished. But now, he was motivated, the ghayra kicked in again, what we discussed, for his tribe. And he said to Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, he goes, you have lied, you cannot kill him, and you will never be able to kill him. So he's defending. Upon this, Usayd ibn Hudayr, another chief of the Ansar, he was furious, he arose and he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather you are a liar. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will kill him. You are a hypocrite, defending the hypocrites. So Usayd came to the defense of Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad. And he rebuked Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. Because hypocrisy. Because you are a hypocrite defending the hypocrites. On this, the two blessed Ansari tribes of Aus and Khazraj became agitated. And they were about to come to blows. Whilst Rasulullah was still on the pulpit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he thereupon descended, he calmed them till they became silent, and he kept them quiet. So this is the relevant part of the report. The report actually continues. So now, it's mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. Eventually, the divine revelation descended. Ayah Surah Nur, Surah 24, verse 11 to 20. Exonerating both our beloved mother Aisha radiallahu anha and Sayyidina Safwan radiallahu anha, and the guilty parties were duly whipped for their false accusations. So when the revelation came, obviously Aisha was innocent. Safwan naturally was innocent. So now the guilty ones who started the slander, propagated it, they were going to be purified. It is important to point out, and this is very important, that though Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiallahu anh had defended the chief hypocrite, he nevertheless had not attested to the slander. For only three of the companions had fallen into the error, and they were lashed as prescribed by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important. If a person asks who got whipped, he goes, three sahaba. So you would expect Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. So you think, well, he defended Abdullah ibn Ubay. He's not one of them. So a person goes, so that means he had nothing to do with the slander. It was only his ghayra for his tribe that provoked him to defend. where does it mention the whipping? In Surah An-Nur, Surah 24, verse 4, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً. And those who launch a charge against pure women and do not produce four witnesses, then flog them with 80 stripes. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He clearly mentioned that in the Quran, that if you accuse an innocent woman, and you who you've accused and you haven't got witnesses, you will all get 80 stripes. So what's strange here? Allah testified that she was innocent. So even if they produce witnesses, they were liars. Have you understood? But that's why they got whipped. Who got whipped? How do we know? Where's the proof? In Abu Dawood number 4474, Tirmidhi number 3192, Hassan Gharib, Ibn Majah number 2567, our mother herself, Aisha, she said, radiyallahu, when my innocence was revealed, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stood on the pulpit, mentioned it and recited the Quran. Then as he came down, he ordered the had, the prescribed punishment, should be given to two men and one woman. They were then lashed. So there's the proof. Two men and one woman got lashed. But it doesn't give names in this report. In a report, it mentions the names. In Tabarani, Ruh al-Ma'ani, Anwar al-Bayan, volume 6, page 377 of the English translation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu to gather all the Muslims in the masjid. When they presented themselves, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verses declaring Aisha's innocence radiyallahu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon called for Abdullah ibn Ubay, the chief hypocrite, and had him lashed for slander twice, 160 times. Thereafter, Sayyidina Hassan ibn Thabit, Sayyidina Misra, and Sayyidina Hamna bin Jahsh, the sister of Zainab, were also lashed 80 times each. Radiyallahu ta'ala. So now the names are given. One was the chief hypocrite, he got double. No bother about him, right? Three Sahaba got whipped. Hassan ibn Thabit, who was the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Ansar. Misna, who was a Badri, radiyallahu. And Hamna, who was the sister of Ummul Mu'mineen, Zainab bin Jahsh. Is Sa'ad ibn Ubadah mentioned? No. He had nothing to do with the slander. He wasn't propagating it. He knew it was a falsehood. Why was Abdullah ibn Ubay given double punishment? Because he had initiated the slander. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed in Surah An-Nur, Surah 24, verse 11, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And to him who took on himself the lead amongst them, he will have an immense punishment. And to him who took on himself the lead amongst them, he will have an azabun azim, an immense punishment. Who is Allah talking about? Abdullah ibn Ubay. Thus, the double punishment was part of the azabun azim, which awaited this unrepentant wretch. That's why he was given double. So now, in conclusion, this was a situation where Sa'ad ibn Ubadah's ghayrah was naturally misplaced. So we learn a mighty lesson from this. How? For how often are we guilty of the same crime? When one of our family members or close associates are clearly found to be in the wrong in a certain matter, but we still bite them just because of their relationship with us. We seek refuge in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from deviation. Ameen. So this is why it happened. So we learn a lesson. So Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, yes, he defended Abdullah ibn Ubay from the Khazraj. Was he right in that? No. he wasn't right in that. So why was he defending? Because you have to understand this ghaira. Somebody from the Aus, the great Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad said, you give us the order, Ya Rasulullah, we will execute the one from the Khazraj. Sa'ad's ghaira was activated. Why? Because he was probably thinking, he shouldn't have said that. He should have said, my brother Sa'ad ibn Ubadah will deal with him. Have you understood? But what Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad said was, you give me the command, Ya Rasulullah, I'll deal with him. Have you understood? Therefore, this is what provoked his ghaira. He wasn't right in that, but like I said, the Sahaba are mahfuz. They're guarded. They will die with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Aisha actually praised him. Because before this, he was a righteous man. Meaning, you can't find anything on his CV. But here, he fell, he slipped. But very important to highlight, he never contributed to the slander. Have you understood? There's two separate things here. If he had contributed to the slander, he would have been whipped. But was he whipped? No. It was just the ghaira for his tribe. And the lesson therefore is if the Sahaba fell into that, it's going to be very easy for us to fall into this. And how often are we guilty of that? My tribe is right, whether right or wrong. My family is right, whether right or wrong. Right? And there you go. There's that misplaced ghaira of yours. Ghaira is excellent, but it's misplaced here. Hence, with regards to the matter of ghaira, how beautifully did our beloved messenger sum up the entire matter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Jabir ibn Abdullah relates that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, indeed there is a form of ghaira that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and also a form of ghaira that he detests. The ghaira that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves is that which is based on valid suspicion. Whilst the ghaira that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates is that which is without valid suspicion. This is recorded in Abu Dawood, Ahmad and others, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi says Hassan in Irwa'ul Ghalib number 1999. So this explains this very important principle. Ghaira is excellent if it's in the right place. If it's not in the right place, it's not a good thing. The Prophet explicitly said that. Because one is with proof, then it's excellent. But without proof, it's detrimental, it's very harmful. Thus, just like so many of the other blessed characteristics, ghaira is not universal, but has its time and place. For instance, haya is excellent, modesty, but it should not get in the way of acquiring knowledge. Restraining one's anger is excellent, but it must be displayed when the commands of Allah are broken. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Silence is excellent, but one must speak out when something wrong is uttered. Humility is excellent, but it is not shown during battle. Etc. etc. So this is why you have to explain, if ghaira is a beautiful thing, then what wrong did Sa'ad ibn Ubadah do? And you respond by saying that the mistake you've made is, you think ghaira is universal. It's not universally a good thing, generally it's a good thing. But sometimes it could be a wrong, a detrimental thing if it's in the wrong place. And therefore we've got the example here of Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. So note, his ghaira was immense. The Ansar wouldn't marry his widows. His divorced wives or widows. Why? Because we know his ghaira. And he would only marry virgins because of ghaira. So this is the ghaira of Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu. And the Prophet didn't find anything wrong with that. But here, he did something wrong. Question, did the Prophet lose any love and respect for him? No. You know, humans fall. He dusted himself off. He got back on his feet radiyallahu anhu. And notice, clearly recorded in the famous incident of the slander of Sayyidina Aisha radiyallahu anhu. And I didn't go through the hadith at any great detail. But it really hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to mention a few things to finish. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, his daughter was slandered, Aisha radiyallahu anhu. And he did not say to his daughter once, you're innocent. Only when the Quran was revealed that he said to his daughter, and he actually wept. So his daughter said, he goes, father, he goes, now you weep. Now you come to my defense. And Abu Bakr radiallahu said, which earth will carry me? Which sky would shade me if I speak without knowledge? Allahu Akbar, think about that. He didn't use it. Think about it. Your own daughter has been slandered. And who's your daughter? Mother of the believers? Married to Rasulullah. Even in that scenario, he didn't get emotional. He goes, I don't know. I'm quite certain my daughter is innocent, but I'm not going to say it until it's proven. So look at the huge status of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And look at the status where, right? If your daughter slandered you, even if she's guilty, you'll defend her. Forget about, you know, whether you're going to speak out of turn. So there's Abu Bakr Siddiq, glaring sign of his status, radiallahu. The other thing which is interesting, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I noticed that the Prophet wasn't showing me his usual love and affection, radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that he loved her too much. But she noticed something missing. And then she clicked on. Then finally somebody told her, don't you know the people talking about you? You've been slandered. And then when she asked their mother and father, the mother and father hadn't told her. Think about that. Time had passed and they hadn't even told her. Because do you know that somebody said that you committed zina? Look at the purity of the household. Then she goes, why didn't you tell me? To Abu Bakr and Umar Uman radiallahu anhu. And then they just said this. They goes, oh look, when a husband has many wives, people get jealous. That's what they said to her. And then Aisha goes, I started getting ill because I thought people are saying this about me. And eventually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did some of his own, you know, he asked a few people about the matter. He went to Barira. He asked Ali radiallahu anhu first. He goes, what do you think, oh Ali? So Ali goes, Ya Rasulullah, he goes, you got many other wives. You can marry again. And the reason he said that was because he saw the Prophet hurt. He didn't want him to be hurt. Then he asked Osama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he goes, what do you think? So Osama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, there's nothing but good from Aisha. He goes, we can't find anything wrong with Aisha. But if you really want to investigate, ask Barira. Barira was a servant, female servant, radiallahu. So the Prophet goes to Barira and he said, what do you know about Aisha? So Barira radiallahu, she goes, there is one failing. So the Prophet said, what is that failing? Because once he goes, Aisha was milking the goat and she fell asleep and the goat ate the bread. That's it. That's the only feeling she had on him. And then the Prophet got up to the pulpit. He goes, the people have slandered my family. So he did make his own investigations. But when the Quran was revealed, it was finished. Now what's interesting, before the Prophet received the revelation of the Quran, Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet approached her. And finally he said to her, oh Aisha radiallahu anha, if you are innocent, Allah will declare your innocence. But if something else has happened, repent. Allah will forgive you. When the Prophet said those words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha goes, my tears stopped. Why? Because the Prophet, from his words, it appeared that even he wasn't convinced. Then she turned to Abu Bakr, because father speak. And Abu Bakr goes, what can I say? Then she turned to Umar Uman, her mother. She goes, what can I say? And then Aisha radiallahu anha said, I was a young woman at the time. I didn't know much of the Quran. And I couldn't remember who said it. But it was Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, she goes, Ya Rasulullah, if I tell you I'm innocent, he goes, people may have doubts still. And if I say I'm not innocent, I'm lying. I will only say what the Prophet said. And she recited the verse in Surah Yusuf. Because patience, I will resort to patience. I will resort to patience. Allah is the one who hears and knows. And then she goes, I lied down. And then she said, I did not consider myself to be worthy for the Quran. I thought Rasulullah would have a dream about me. Because I never thought Allah Ta'ala would reveal Quran. Because then revelation descended. And then the Prophet went into the mode when revelation descended. And then she goes, I looked at my father and his face went white. Because he was thinking, this is the moment the truth is going to be exposed. And I turned to my mother, she was also worried. Because, but then she goes, but I wasn't. Because I know I was innocent. And then when the Prophet ﷺ received the revelation, because he wiped the sweat from his forehead, and he goes, congratulations, O Aisha. Allah Ta'ala has declared your innocence. Then the mother, Umm Ruman, she goes to Aisha, go and, you know, thank Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Aisha goes, I'm only going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning he came to my defense. And the scholars say, what happened here? She went into that state where the really righteous souls go into. They go into a spiritual state where they say things and they don't realize what's coming out of their blessed mouths. Just like Umar radiallahu anhu, when he squared up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, are you going to do janaza for this munafiq? And then afterwards he goes, what was I doing standing in front of the Prophet speaking to him? And it was that state. So she went into that state. Meaning she was so near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then who was the ones who were purified? The one who started the slander was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Shaitan. The one who got affected by it was Mister, the Badri. Mister radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, was giving him a stipend. He was giving him money to look after because he was a poor man. When these verses were revealed, he stopped giving it. He goes, I'm never going to give to him because he contributed to the slander. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed another verse in Surah Dhuhr. Let not those amongst you who are bestowed with grace and amplitude swear an oath that they would stop giving to their family. Forgive and overlook. Do you not love that Allah Ta'ala forgives you? Immediately Abu Bakr goes, why not? And he started giving the stipend again to Mister. In Tabarani, he doubled it. So Mister, imagine how embarrassed he was. He goes, I contributed to the slander and it was nobility enough for Abu Bakr radiallahu to keep giving me my stipend. But then he's doubled it. So this is the state of Abu Bakr. Another verse was revealed. The other two was Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu. Hassan ibn Thabit, Aisha forgave him. Later on when he would come in to pay his respects, the nephew of Aisha goes, why do you allow him to come in after what he contributed to? So Aisha radiallahu anha said that Allah Ta'ala loves him. He goes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Hassan, whenever you recite poetry, Jibreel is with you. When you defend Allah Ta'ala and his messenger. He goes, how can I not forgive him? So Aisha forgave him, Hassan ibn Thabit. And also Hamna bin Jahsh, that was the woman who contributed to this land. That was our mother's sister, Zainab bin Jahsh's sister. Zainab, Aisha radiallahu anha said, what stopped her from propagating the slander was her piety. Her sister was noble. But Hamna, because she wanted Zainab to be the favorite, she thought, I can use this to belittle Aisha radiallahu anha. So that's what caused her to slip into this. And she was also whipped. So no, this is purification. Why? Because they all have to leave the world with the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reason I mentioned that report is because in the middle of this report, you've got Sa'd ibn Ubad. And if that's the only thing you know about him, you will have a serious negative about this Sahab. You're thinking he defended the chief hypocrite. But when you actually go through his life, you realize what triggered that. And of course, he retracted and he asked forgiveness for this. So all I mentioned today was basically the incident where Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he defended the chief hypocrite against the slander of Aisha. And I explained all the relevant details with regards to the report and the key report about the ghaira which Allah Ta'ala loves and the ghaira which he detests. Are there any questions you'd like to ask?
سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصوا بالحق والتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.